So what is next in Libya? Prosecutors at The Hague are hoping to bring murder and persecution charges against Muammar Gaddafi for his government's brutal crackdown on anti-government rebels. NATO forces continue their attacks, and the rebels say they've expanded their control of the port city of Misrata. But what about U.S. involvement? Under the War Powers Resolution, that involvement must end Friday, 60 days after President Obama's formal notification to lawmakers that it had started. You'll remember the War Powers Resolution was passed in the wake of the Vietnam War. It was designed to reassert Congress's constitutional role in decisions about military conflicts. So will Congress exercise that control and enforce that deadline? Tom Shanker is Pentagon and National Security Reporter for The New York Times. Tom, start with that question. We're feeling we're not hearing a lot of debate about this Friday deadline. What's your sense of what will happen?
Well, it certainly is a very interesting question, and it's in the hands not of the commanders but of the lawyers right now. The politics are fascinating. Even though Congress has really tried to reassert its power over foreign policy, there seems to be very little stomach on Capitol Hill for going to the wall on this one with President Obama, because in many ways it was legislators who pressed the U.S. government and its military to intervene alongside the NATO allies in Libya. So it would be sort of difficult for them to say, now wait a second, you have to stop at 60 days because of this law. Even so, there are a number of outs or caveats that are being explored to allow the United States military to continue its involvement, but without violating the War Powers Act, which expires on Friday.
So there might be some of those loopholes tugged at. But just remind us what the U.S. is doing in Libya, because there's a difference between the military and the CIA.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's what the U.S. military is doing which might allow them the out. Early on, as you'll recall, the United States was clearly the leading edge of the attacks. It was sea-launched cruise missiles from American surface warships and submarines. It was rockets and bombs dropped from American jet fighters and bombers. But after the first couple of weeks, as the president had promised, the U.S. stepped back into mostly a support role. That would be refueling tankers, flying and intelligence and surveillance flight, and the only attacks in recent days from American aircraft have been the Predator drones, which have launched the Hellfire missiles at a couple of Libyan government and military sites. So one of these gaps, you might say, the U.S. could utilize is to simply halt all of the attack missions, so the United States would only be in a support role, surveillance, refueling, electronic jamming, but not actually striking targets on the ground. The argument could be made by government lawyers is since the U.S. is only supporting NATO attacks under treaty agreements with the allies, the U.S. was really no longer at war.
Well, and didn't we also learn that there were CIA agents on the ground consulting with the rebels?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of American intelligence operatives, but no military boots on the ground. But more importantly, there's the British and the French and the Italian military are there. The War Powers Act does not cover activities under what's called Title 50, which is the intelligence operations. So the argument could be made that if the military stopped all attacks and was simply supporting the NATO allies in their attacks, that might let the War Powers Act not be violated come Friday. And the other alternative being explored would be to simply halt not just the attacks, but all American military activities completely for some number of hours or days, which some lawyers argue would then allow the president to restart the War Powers clock and get another 60 days.
Yeah. Tom Shanker, then what? You know, in the bigger picture, Libyan rebel leaders met with U.S. national security officials in Washington last week, didn't get what they really wanted, which was official recognition that they were the interim government in Libya. And then there's also the sense that what people thought might be a continuation of the Arab Spring in Libya, you know, isn't happening. You know, it's the stalemate. It's this standoff. And, you know, what are officials saying about Muammar Gaddafi? And does this turn into, instead of a NATO mission that supports the rebels, one that is assassinating Muammar Gaddafi?
Everybody involved in the campaign says that a divided Libya, sort of an unofficial partition, would be bad for the region. It foments instability. It has a sense of stalemate with the allies attacking, you know, a North African Arab country for weeks to come. At the same time, it would take sort of a presidential finding or a decision to actually assassinate Gaddafi. Now, if he is foolish enough or unlucky enough to be inside a legitimate military target that's hit by NATO, well then, fair enough. But there really is no effort to find him and assassinate him as a political leader. That being said, there is a bit of a gap between what the alliance says it wants, which is Gaddafi out, and what it's doing, which is applying sufficient force to make that happen. So they're trying to tighten the screws little by little. The NATO airstrikes are definitely becoming more robust, more effective. They're going after more of the pillars of power, and there's some talk of giving more aid to the rebels. I think what is desired by NATO is not an assassination of Gaddafi, but someone in his inner circle to say, you know what, we're about to lose all. It's in our interest to either push him out and make him flee the country, or for them to take him out of the picture in some way. But there really is a rather significant gap between what the alliance says it wants and what it's committed to actually do so far.
Well, and this is in the shadow of what we just saw last week, the big headline last week, which is a special operations force from the U.S. going in and killing Osama bin Laden.
Well, Osama bin Laden represented al-Qaeda, and you know, which attacked American territory, you know, killing thousands of people and has killed thousands more across the Muslim world. I think, you know, bin Laden was viewed as a much higher national security threat than is Gaddafi. He's more of a direct threat to the security of Europe, which is why the NATO allies are taking the lead. So there really would be very little chance for the president to order a special operations team to go in after Gaddafi.
And is there any chance left, Tom Shanker, that Muammar Gaddafi could seek asylum somewhere?
That is what all of this pressure is about, freezing his assets, bringing charges against him and all of that. The question is, he would have to choose a country that did not have extradition authority under the International Criminal Tribunal. There are a few countries in Africa, but whether they're places he'd want to live, that's up to Muammar Gaddafi.
Tom Shanker, Pentagon and National Security Reporter for The New York Times. Tom, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure to speak with you.